Good morning. Shalom. I have never sung that last hymn, and yet I found it to be beautiful, and I hope we continue to sing it. As you probably know, for a number of years, I have vowed to God to not to speak on my favorite chestnut, but to actually take one of the subjects which is mentioned in the daily readings. And I was intrigued this time through to realize that from Deuteronomy to Ecclesiastes to Acts, there is a somewhat common theme. It doesn't immediately become apparent, but hand is important in each one of those. It begins in the 11th verse of Deuteronomy 17 and says, if you give witness, then you are, or the onus is on you, to take your hand and stone or kill that person. Wow, something to think about. So it's not a casual thing to give witness in a capital crime. The passage in Ecclesiastes, which God willing we will maybe speak on a little bit more, mentions in the very first verse the hand of God. And I don't know whether I've told you, but I have mentioned to some of you that Ecclesiastes was the first book that just hit me like a rock. You'll excuse the bad pun. But it really impressed on me, because when I read it, I said, this is not what I used to hear in church. This is the way life is. But it's also very positive. You pick up these little hints throughout until it finally climaxes with the whole duty and responsibility of all of us is to fear God and keep His commandments. In the final portion in Acts 8, of course, John and Peter are sent to Samaria to lay their hands on the individuals. And what happens when they do that? Why, the blessing and the power of God comes upon those Samaritans. Again, what a responsibility, but what a lovely thought. And it then makes sense that when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, don't be hasty to lay your hands. He's not talking about throttling the Ephesians. He's talking, don't be hasty to lay your hands in this blessing upon just anybody until they make a confession of their faith. Now, well, let me just give you a little brief story about hands, and it will be very brief. When I taught art, I had no mercy. I said, you must learn to draw hands. Now, anybody who's tried drawing realizes, well, the figure's easy, but hands always look like a bunch of bananas. And so I said, well, I'm going to make it easy for you. How many are right-handed? Good. I want you to take your left hand and draw your right hand. And how many are left-handed? A few of them, like Jesse, said, yes, I must confess to that evil trait. And so they had to draw their right hand. But seriously, what it made them realize is what amazing, marvelous thing the hands are. I used to tell my students, and I wasn't exaggerating, that in 10 seconds you can put your hands in 20 unique positions. They are tremendously complex. These little phalanges that we have are just amazing, and the ulna and the radius and all of the various positions. So when we read about the hand of God, we're not anthropomorphic when we understand that it is the power and the blessing which comes from God. If we look, for example, at Ecclesiastes, I don't know whether you're open to it or not, but in the very first verse, I reflected in all of this, he says, and concluded that the righteousness and to the wise, what they do are in God's hands. So whether you're righteous or wicked or devout or simple. Everything that we do is in God's hands. He mentions it in the very beginning, and in some ways, this is the very theme of Ecclesiastes in the second chapter. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or who can find enjoyment? The hand of God controls not only the universe, the great things, but the hand of God controls us and our lives. It is a wonderful thing to think of the hand of God. And when we do, I hope we don't come up with the Sistine Chapel and that silly little picture of touching Adam. But it is the power and the wonder. We use the word hand today as being handy or extending the hand of love and friendship and help, helping hand. And it's something that we should do and we should think about. We think particularly of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that very often his miracles, and we'll maybe look at this in a moment, were completed by his touching somebody who was leprous or blind or crippled. And it changed their lives, hopefully eternally. In Psalm 37, which we often associate with incorrectly, with the meek inheriting the earth, he makes a beautiful reference to the hand of God, and it's very simple. Psalm 37, again, we're very familiar with. This is verse 23 and 24. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I think it's just a beautiful reference to things that we take for granted, how God has guided us and helped us. Sometimes we forget about. I'm very thankful that I made a safe trip down from Windsor this morning. Often we forget to give thanks and praise God when we arrive at a place. Everything is in the hand of God. And I might add, and his son. Because when we think of the hand of Jesus, it was also a blessing and a power, and it will continue and, of course, become more obvious to the world at his return. Now, because in this day and age of flu, you often hear, you must wash your hand. And it's very good advice. I remember a cartoon, you'll excuse me, but it was very vivid in my mind. I had it saved, but of course, like all everything else, when you move, you lose everything. And that's good in a way. You start out somewhat fresh. But this was a wonderful cartoon, probably in the New Yorker, where there are a lot of these outrageous cartoons. And it was of a Mom's Truck Cafe. And inside were these two big hulks. And it was Mom who ran the cafe. And you boys go wash your hands. I used to hear that from my mother. It was very real. Well, Mom, we were just out climbing a couple of you go wash your hands. The interesting thing about that is that our hands are the way in which, as you know, if you have little kids, we contract disease. One of my favorite passages about hands and about the power of hands is found in the 19th chapter of Genesis. You'll remember in the case of Abraham praying for for Lot and for his family probably, but certainly for Lot. We read then in the 19th and the 5th, I'll just read the 14th through 17. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who pledged to marry his daughters, sons-in-law, I'm sorry, there were at least two daughters. And he said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was just kidding, joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot the same thing. Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. But when he hesitated, the man grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters. So the two angels took on both sides, both left and right hand, and escorted them out of the city. I don't understand how they did that, whether they simply passed through the air as perhaps Philip on the way to Azotus, or whether they simply walked through the city. I don't know how they did it, but I know that if they hadn't conveyed them, that Lot, with even though he being a righteous man, would have been left behind. So God uses that example. I took you by the hand and saved you from Egypt in the writings to the Hebrews. It's a wonderful thing to think of the hand of God. The hand of Christ is equally compelling because power came out of him. I often think, and it's worthwhile remembering, that when Jesus touched somebody, it changed their life physically, mentally, in every way. The woman of Zarephath recognized the power came out of Jesus. It may have cost him. We often don't think of that aspect. It meant power went out of him. He knew something had changed. It may have been with some pain or some lack of strength that this blessing came. But when we think of Jesus, and a couple of obvious cases are found in Mark, the first chapter, of his laying his hands on people, it's a wonderful thing. Mark 1:29, you probably just listen, or you can follow it. In fact, let me begin at 27th verse for some context. The people were all so amazed that they asked one another, what is this, a new teaching? With authority, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So it was instant change. And if any of you have had a fever, and a fever breaks, this is more than that. This is new energy. This is... she's completely healthy. And I often think of the miracles of Christ when he touches somebody. It really changes things immediately. Again, in the first chapter and at the 40th verse, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And of course, we all accept the irony that nobody was to touch a leper. I'm unclean. But once Jesus touched him, the leprosy vanished. It didn't go to Jesus. He was clean and the man was clean. It's just a remarkable understanding of the hand of God now extended through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you'll have a hard time believing this, but when I was young, I had a habit of passing the gas station because they had the outrageous, they had the audacity, to ask a nickel more than the station that I knew was only a mile further when I ran out of gas. And one time I was taking sweet sister Jordan to Bible class, ran out of gas in the Arinda Tunnel, 3/4 of a mile. The man immediately behind me stopped, threw out a flare. The man behind him came around to the front. I hopped in his car. Of course, I had a gas can. That probably told something about me. I carried one with me. It took me, I guess it was 4 miles to a service station, filled up the can. He drove me back around the top of the tunnel and back into the tunnel, all within, I think, felt like 10 minutes, I think it was. Sister Jordan was sitting there probably singing a hymn, which she frequently did when she was concerned. I still don't know the name of the man, or of the two men who did this. And I often think of meeting angels unaware. And I think in some way, I know that it was God's blessing for my stupidity. And by the way, I don't run out of gas anymore. But what a wonderful thing that a helping hand, just that immediate, they didn't have to think about it. There's an old spiritual that says, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand." Now, while that may be rather corny, I think it's a beautiful idea. I know my granddaughter, Selah, used to love to take my hand because when I take her down the stairs, she felt safe. When Selah hit the big age of 3, no more hand, Grandpa. And that's good, too, because now she can take the hand of somebody that's smaller and help them. But it is, I think, a beautiful thought to realize that we are like Selah before age 3. We do need the hand of God, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude by reading a passage that's just amazing in Hebrews 1. And it is and I think we often misread the passage. It is the beginning of the new creation. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that this is all about. In the beginning, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm reading from the 10th verse. In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens and the work of are the work of your hands. And we say, yes, isn't that wonderful to go back and refer to Genesis? He's not referring to Genesis. Yes, there is an understanding that God has created everything by the power of his hand. That's true. He's now talking about the new creation. He's talking about Jesus, the hand of Jesus. So in some way, I think it's important as we remember our Lord this morning, we realize that yes, God's hand has blessed us in every way. He's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, given us hope. And yet, it's the hand of Jesus that begins the new creation, which we even now enjoy and look forward to at his return.